the Heat Check Podcast, episode 34. It is November 23rd, 2024, a beautiful Saturday afternoon here in Studio B. I am your host, Chris Patrick, joined today by Kenny Dillingham's personal chef, VSP Tallman.
Yeah, no scallops for him.
No scallops, because you don't want him to end up like Devin Booker.
Yep. Right?
Whip it.
That's fair. I'll save the follow-ups. We're going to get right into this. But we also have with us personal advisor to the College Football Playoff Committee, Michael Benjamin.
Hey, 12-team expansion. It's been a tough one, but it looks like the Arizona State Sun Devils might be on their way. A lot of things have to work
out. Knock on wood.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing great, man. We're sitting here as we record this watching ASU play BYU. We're trying to get in the conversation for the Big 12 championship game. Winning this today would go a long way. So we'll probably keep you updated as we go along. Right now it's 7-0 at the end of the first as we're recording this. Of course, by the time this makes it out, middle of the week, you'll know the final score and the end result. And we're hoping that it's a Sun Devils dub. But fellas, we got a full slate. I mean, we got a moderate slate, you know. It's football season. Basketball season just kicked off. So, you know, we're going to be talking about the 6-4 Arizona Cardinals who have won four straight. They are first in their division, which is the NFC West. And we're also going to talk about the Suns who started 9-2 and since have lost five straight and are now 9-7.
Boo.
Struggling a little bit without Kevin Durant. But if you guys are ready, I say we just dive right into it.
Let's do it, baby. We ready to go.
Hell yeah. So, right off the top, Arizona Cardinals, number one in the division. I don't think anybody saw this coming. It looks like, you know, we got, what, seven games left. The 49ers are banged up. The Rams are mid. The Seahawks are mid. How are you guys feeling about our chances to make the playoffs here?
Oh, Tallman, you want to kick it off?
Not everybody jumping at once.
We're both chomping at the bit, ready to rock, but we'll let Tallman start first on this one.
I mean, it's hard not to feel good about it. I mean, especially this week. I mean, we're going into Seattle. We haven't seen them yet. But, I mean, Seattle lost, like, what was it, four or five games in a row? They started the season hot.
They did.
They were just starting to circle the drain. And then coming out of that bye, they got that win. I think they won by 3 points against the 49ers. So they're coming off a win. They're trying to salvage their season. But I think this Cardinals team is just way too hot. And then you look at our other division, other teams in the division. I mean, 49ers are hurt. Brock Purdy's not starting. They're playing the Packers. And then you have the Rams playing the Eagles, which the Eagles have just been red hot. So it's very possible if we win in Seattle, what, we're going to be 7-4, and we're going to have a two-game lead on everybody else in our division. I mean, it's this game is going to be big. I think we need to win this game this weekend to have the best shot or maybe the only shot to win the division. I don't know. I don't want to say it's a must-win, but I think it would be huge if we pulled off a win.
Why not? Put it on the table, Tallman. It's a must-win for the Arizona Cardinals. No, the beautiful thing about this Cardinals team right now is that they truly pretty much control their own destiny at the end of the day, right? Looks like we have a one-point favorite for the Arizona Cardinals. Over and under is 47.5. I think every time we go to Seattle, it's always a dogfight at the end of the day. And like we were saying, the Seattle Seahawks coming off a tough stretch, got a nice win on the back of Geno Smith last week. Was it in San Francisco? I think it was, right?
It was, yeah, it was in San Fran.
But the other beautiful thing about this Arizona Cardinals team is that they're getting healthier at the right time right now, too, right? I mean, Darius Robinson has been on the practice field.
I don't think he's going to play
this week, which is totally okay. But he got limited practice time in this whole week, so that's good to see him progressing. Same with Jonah Williams. It sounds like he's more up front to get back into the fold this week as well. I think they did mark Jalen Thompson out, and Rabbit was out for a few days, but he'll have another opportunity as this young safety and cornerback room continues to grow and really solidify the back end of that defense. And that's been the unsung heroes of this team so far, right? Three straight home games, no touchdowns allowed.
Incredible.
Systems are rolling for this Cardinals club right now. And I think Tolman had said on our last recap, the thing that sucked about this last week is we didn't get to watch him. So now we don't have to worry about that for the rest of the season. No. So tomorrow is a big, big game. And if you can give yourself some more breathing room at the top of the NFC West, why not do it? Put your foot on the throat, baby. Yeah. Let's do it.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, and that's another game that by the time you're listening to this, you'll know the outcome of. Obviously, we're hoping it's a W. I'm very confident that it will be because, like Tolman said, the Seahawks are faltering a little bit. They came out the gate hot, but have really cooled off as teams start to figure them out, and they're having their own struggles. But for me, the Cardinals' bye week came at the perfect time. A week 11 bye is great. I hate an early season bye because it really, you expect mid-season about this point, you're going to have the injuries. So you get a week and a half to get healthy. I think you nailed it, Mike. Like, The defense pitching shutouts, I just have to ask, and Tolman, I'll throw it to you first. Did we underestimate the defense going into the season?
Of course we did. I mean, we did coming into the season was we were bashing it hard. You know, I called it. It was an underfunded defense. It was lacking talent. There's on paper, it's lacking talent. I mean, come on. But boy, have they really impressed. I think through the season so far, they are the MVP of this team so far is that defense because it's just incredible what they've been able to do. And then that's also huge for Nick Rallis too. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how you get – I mean, obviously Gannon's a defensive guy, right? He's a defensive coach, but I think Rallis and him are really figuring it out. And that defense just – I think in the last couple games, it's just a – just how they've been able to generate the pass rush has been very incredible and very impressive. And it's great. Three home games in a row, no touchdown. Granted, we played the Jets and the Bears and
the Dolphins.
The Dolphins was in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying at home.
We only won 27. But that's just incredible. I mean, at this point, because we thought that we were just going to score a bunch of points and the offense was going to carry this team, but it seems like from week to week, you don't know what side of the football is going to carry it for the Arizona Cardinals. But recently, it's been the defense, right? I mean, you saw the Bears game where Kyler Murray didn't have to do anything, and we won that game by 20 points.
Oh, yeah, and I got to jump in on this, Tom, and you're exactly correct. I mean, if you even just think about that Monday Night Football game against the Chargers, the defense keeps you in that game where Kyler Murray really wasn't that effective until he got on the ground and he had that, 54-yard rushing touchdown once again.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense was really slow rolling throughout that entire game. And then the next week when you go into Miami, both Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr. have over 100 yards. Kyler Murray is slicing up one of the best back ends in the NFL in the Miami Dolphins, and you win the game on the offensive side. And obviously this four-game winning streak, the offense has really started to get rolling. And that's what we kind of talked about. Obviously, when you bring in new personnel, you got your number one receiver as a rookie. It takes some time to get within rhythm with everybody, right? That's nothing new that anybody knows. But within that time frame, the defense has continued to grow stronger. And I will say, gentlemen, I mean, the front seven is still an area of concern when you start to talk about if this team does make the playoffs. How are you going to get pressure on those mobile quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if you make the Super Bowl, but you know, those kind of guys. And we're obviously what does Chris always like to say? Putting the cart in front of the horse.
Putting the cart in front of the horse.
Yeah. So we're getting ahead of ourselves there, but it's been impressive how this defensive scheme has continued to put guys in great opportunities. When you're missing two of your best pass rushers, and I know B.J. Ojulari was still an unknown, but unproven. He was thought to be as one of those guys who was going to take a next step this year, and he was going to be given heavy shares on the snaps. So, and then you lose Dennis Gardeck, and you're looking at yourself like, oh, no, we need Darius Robinson back. But then you bring in Brandon Browning, and guys just continue to step up like Jesse Luketa, and it's been impressive so far. So hopefully these guys are really – reset and their bodies are ready to roll for these last seven games.
Yeah, then you said the bye week came at the perfect time.
It seemed like you disagreed a little
bit. Well, no, but it's so, Mike, you were saying the offense is really rolling. This team's hot, right?
Oh, yeah.
You started off by saying this team is on a four-game win streak. could you sit there and say, you know, you're going into a bye, do you lose your momentum because you're not going through the same grind of getting ready for a game on the weekend?
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, because they asked Kyler Murray about it, and he said, no, you know, I'm upset I'm not playing football, but glad that we can get healthy. But, I mean, that's the thing. Because if we come out and the Cardinals lose the game tomorrow against the Seahawks, what are they going to blame it on? They're going to blame it on the bye. And this team came out and they weren't ready to play.
Yeah, and I think for me that comes down to almost like remembering on the preseason, because I haven't really heard what's been happening in the bye week. It sounds like Jonathan Gannon kind of gave them the permission to actually have a rest. Because, you know, coach, it's like two ways, right? It seems like, and I don't know how true this is to real life, but big video game nerd here. In Madden, if you're playing a franchise, when the bye week rolls around, you get the option to either give your guys rest, let them do whatever they want, or you have practice and you double down. So they chose to go the rest route with the Cardinals, which I think is probably what happens more often than not. But why I say it harkens back to the preseason is because we didn't see them exactly practice like they play. And that's hence for my money why we had the slow start, because they didn't have their main guys going in the preseason. Kyler didn't play. Marvin Harrison didn't play. James Conner didn't really play. Like they didn't really play their starters. So I could see that if they're not practicing how they're going to need to play, they could be slow coming out of the bye week. So, Tom, and I honestly think, like, you make a good argument there on your concerns.
Yeah, because, I mean, you always want the bye to be either in the middle or later in the season.
Right.
Right? Yep. So, you know, typically, if the perfect bye would be, like, week 14, right? Week 13.
That's kind of late. Like, week 14 is kind of late.
Yeah, but then that's, you know, you're already figuring out, okay, you know, we're in a position to, you know, make a playoff run.
Sure.
Let's take this last second to get healthy, and then let's come back and let's, you know, you have four games left or whatever to, you know, figure it out. But I think it's a good spot, right? It's a good spot for the bye. I mean, even when we were going through doing the predictions, we're all like, hell yeah. You know, this is a great bye week. It's not too early. It's, you know, it's in a perfect spot. But then you got to think about, though, I mean, we're winning, right? Four games in a row.
Yep.
So you're just hoping, or at least I'm hoping, I know you guys are too, that we're going to come out hot and we're not going to skip a beat.
Now, I will counter what you're saying. I think the perfect opponent for the Arizona Cardinals is the Seattle Seahawks right now, right? It's your first time matching up with them. That's okay.
That's fine.
It's your first time
matching
up. Do you
know Kyler's record in Seattle?
Well, it's going to get one game better in the win column this week, Tallman. But you have a division opponent coming out of the bye. You know where you sit based off of last week, where things really kind of went the Arizona Cardinals' way, where they didn't have to play a game and they still sit in first place.
Right.
You need to set a tone against the Seattle Seahawks because you're going to play them two games out of the next 3 weeks. So if you can go into Seattle, the mentality is really checked in for these guys. I don't care what happened with the bye week. We know Kyler Murray was in New York not getting recognized from some guy while they were eating pizza and that
with
kind of
ranch.
Stuff.
How
so
dare he?
Those guys need to have mental resets, right? It can't just always be just football. But, you know, they came back and they were ready to roll with practice this week. And those guys who were hurt were still in town. Like Darius Robinson was going through his training regimen to make sure that he was going to be ready to go whenever he does get the call from the training staff. I'm sure same thing with Jalen Thompson, Jonah Williams. Max Melton was on a couple of limited practice plays or practice days this week as well. So I'm sure those guys, if they did have something scheduled, they might have cut it short and they're back in the training facility getting their body ready to go, man.
Right.
I think the underrated systems that are going for this Arizona Cardinals team, which a lot of people were worried about when Jonathan Gannon was hired as a first-time head coach, was what is the message overall for a team when you do switch over to a winning attitude? And it's only been 4 weeks, fellas. Let's be honest here, right? We started off 2-4. We were a little concerned about what was happening here. But now the schedule starts to smooth out. We have the easiest schedule in the NFC West coming up. And we see the eyes are on the prize at this point. And these guys got them dialed in as far as the front office and the coaching staff.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say.
You're good. No, yeah, go for it.
Do we know what the weather is going to be like?
You were saying that there was like some power outages and crazy storms going on in Seattle earlier.
Yeah.
Any snow flurries?
I don't think so. It doesn't snow that much there.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't stick at least.
I'm just saying that'd be fun.
I mean,
that would be fun.
It'll snow like 2 or 3 days out of the year, and then it'll rain all other 360 days. No, you didn't see the. It was.
Oh, he's going. Dude, he's going. Oh, he's going.
Oh man, we're watching the ASU game.
Big gain.
All right, that was huge. Down to the 30.
Looks like about 50-yard, 60-yard gain on a pass play. It's 7-0, 9 minutes left in the second. Whole lot of game.
That is no.
That Jordan Tyson?
It was.
Oh, there he is.
It's got to be.
But you guys haven't seen what they called it, the bomb cyclone or something.
That sounds familiar. But
what are they calling the? Remember, it hit California where like all that. All the landslides and shit, where it rains a lot. What do they call? Something river.
I don't know.
Are you a meteorologist?
No, I'm not.
You should fucking know this.
I didn't know.
I don't know. I would look it up, but we're streaming the.
Hey, leave a comment. Let if you're a meteorologist in the chat, let us know.
But anyway, so
let
what
us
it,
know what. Tom's
so basically,
thinking.
They're calling it a bomb cyclone, and I think it hit them Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. So it's just been raining for 4 days straight.
They brought the boom.
Yeah,
so it's saying 47 with showers.
Okay, so that's fine. It's gonna be raining, and it's gonna be loud.
Because what's that stadium called? It was CenturyLink Field.
Lumen Field.
Which, you know, they had their cute little 12th man. We're so loud, and we break sound records, and we're so cool. But the
imagine
second
being a fan and buying a jersey that says number 12 on the back, and it says fan. That is the, obviously we've all, that is, I almost said a bad word. That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen, man. I can't.
Naughty, naughty. Tom.
I almost did it.
No, but I think, I know we did our full season predictions, but in a little bit here, I do kind of want to go through our remaining schedule of 7 games. Real quick, just not really dissect, but just kind of what we think. Because I think there's some game, like there's some must wins on here. Obviously, Patriots, Panthers, those are must wins. You can't drop games to shitty teams like that, but I want to focus more on kind of a big picture. Like Drew Petzing, after that game against the Commanders that we attended, people were calling for his head, wanted him fired on the spot, didn't want to see him on the sideline ever again, and it almost seems like he's redeemed himself. Would you say that, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what, you know,
TBD.
You know what happens? You know what happens when you win? It cures a lot of the criticisms, right? So four game winning streak, sure. It's quenched the noise right now. There's still some questionable decisions. I mean, that happens on both sides of the ball. I get it, but he definitely has gotten Kyler Murray within a better rhythm as far as setting up the systems as a pocket passer. Getting him out on the edge to make some of those on the run throws, and obviously working within the RPOs and getting him, you know, on the ground a little bit more. I love seeing those play action calls and putting the ball in his hand in the red zone. I just think that Kyler Murray is too shifty to not give him at least an opportunity or two to see what he can do on the ground. So I will say over the past 4 weeks, definitely has been encouraging. You know, there were a lot of question marks to start the season, especially after that Detroit Lions game where your defense keeps you in that game the entirety of that game.
Shuts them out in the second half.
And it didn't seem
like... One of the best
like,
offenses.
It didn't seem like the offensive system could get out of its own way, and they kept basically slamming their head into the wall thinking that the same things were going to work.
Yeah, because that was the game where they like totally abandoned the run, and it was like... We only lost.
It was still a one possession game.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? So sometimes his game trends, where it's like, you have one of the best running backs. I might be biased. You have one of the best running backs in the league right now with James Conner. Give him the ball. You know, you see what happens when this guy has over 100 yards. The Cardinals win.
Well, and let's talk about James Conner because I literally wrote that down. You've texted us probably 3-4 weeks ago is like, how is James Conner a Cardinal right now?
Yeah.
He gets better.
I had that realization.
He gets better every single week. And honestly, he's probably the best Cardinals running back of the last decade. Easy.
Oh, easy.
Dude, he's got to be top three in history, I'd say.
And we did have a stream a couple months ago where we talked about all time.
We talked about
and
David Johnson.
Mike, you know the old heads. Who is the guy that he had, who was a running back and had hella receiving yards?
Larry Centers. All-time legend. Centers. Absolutely.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what season is this for James Conner with
six,
us now? Is this
six?
Yeah.
No way. He's been here for six years already?
No, he's been here for a long time.
Look it up.
Hold on a second. But I know.
But Chris, remember when we signed him? And you said, have fun with James Conner's bum ass. He's going to be out by week eight. And now he's easily the heartbeat of this team.
All right. So this is his fourth season.
Sorry, I had to.
Only fourth season?
Fourth season.
I had to say that.
No, you're good.
159 carries, 697 yards so far this year. Definitely going to be another 1,000-yard rushing season for him, which he had 1,040 last year. Five touchdowns. He had seven last year. Sure, he's going to have more opportunities as well. And then he's almost eclipsed his reception total from last year. We had 27. He has 24 already, 247 yards.
Crazy what happens when you don't get injured and miss games.
Okay, don't put that out there right now, Chris.
We're knocking on wood.
We still know, you know, we've talked about the bevy of weapons that this team has. There's still a lot of young, especially in the receiver room. You can include Trey McBride in that as well. But to have somebody who is a pro's pro when it comes to James Conner, and coming into 30 years of age, seems like he's just hitting his prime.
Which is crazy. We might have to change the rule.
There's
James Conner exception.
There's a big consensus, and I think it still is, the offense runs through James Conner.
Absolutely.
And then you get to add the cherries on top outside of it. But like we had already said, this team continues to find ways to make the adjustments throughout games. So if they do have to go pass heavy, especially within the past 4 weeks, they figure it out. But they still also make sure to continue to include James Conner, even if it's through the air. So he's your guy, man. I don't think there's any way he doesn't get re-signed and comes back to the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, no. He's got to come back.
You can't let him go.
And I don't want to get anything confused. I'm not a James Conner hater. I would say in the past I've considered myself a James Conner realist. Because historically speaking, he's good for at least one injury a year, and he's going to miss a few weeks.
And he did that here. Yeah, he got banged up.
Yeah, and he's been banged up here. But so far through 10 weeks, he's been healthy, and like you guys have said, he's been the heartbeat of this team. And I want to see them not panic if they start going down in games and abandoning the run, because if the run, everyone knows the run opens up so much for an offense.
Play action.
And with the play action. And so you can't go away from that. I mean, even in that game against the Commanders, what was it? There was that goofy fourth and three or something. And they just, when they should have just, probably should have just punted it, but they tried some silly shit and it didn't work out. So I think that's where Petson got a lot of criticism, to go back to that.
Oh, I know that. That was the two tush pushes in a row with Clayton Tune.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So goofy stuff, but. No, I love James Conner. And speaking of great running backs, just a little quick score update as we're watching this. Cam Scataboo got in for his second touchdown of the game.
Second?
Yeah.
So it's 14-0 ASU.
Do you think he gets drafted?
Yeah.
Probably.
Somebody will take a flyer.
Probably.
Fifth, sixth.
He'll be a late round.
Yeah, I don't know if he goes. He definitely won't go top three. I just think with his size.
I was trying to find him in the mock draft. He's not an
Is he a junior?
No, he's a senior.
Oh, he is a senior.
Yeah,
okay.
It's homecoming too.
And I think, especially if ASU makes a run, and if they do find themselves in the college football playoff, that's more eyes on him. So somebody will take a flyer day three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to switch the sides of the ball though for the Arizona Cardinals, Chris. We got to talk about Buda Baker a little bit here.
I do want to talk about Buda, because the trade deadline has come and gone, right? And he is still here. And he's still here. And he seems happy. Last season, Buda didn't seem very happy. Yeah. And now, with the way the defense is going, and he had a big sack 2 weeks ago, right?
Sorry, I'm a
child. Pause.
I'm such a child. I apologize.
No, but so now it's complete 180 from this time last year, where we were talking about, oh, Buda's gone in the offseason. Buda's gone by the trade deadline. Now they're talking Buda extension. He's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that? I want you guys to talk about that, but also how much of that do you attribute to the new coaching staff and the new culture they're building?
Well, I think, and sorry if I jumped in here, Tallman, but I got to talk about my guy, Buda Baker. I love this guy, man.
I know that we've had
criticisms of Buda in the past. I mean, it's not that long ago where Buda Baker asked for a trade. But the one thing about Buda Baker was he was still always a professional and a leader throughout those time frames. You know, there's nothing wrong with making sure that you're taken care of, especially, as Ron Wolfley would say, in the blood sport. You know,
you could do a better Wolf than that.
Buda Baker, taking down Aaron Rodgers like a sack lunch. That's my favorite one. I'm sorry. That's just my favorite.
Oh, it's so good. The sack lunch.
I think, Chris, the new coaching staff and the mentality of Budda Baker as a leader goes hand in hand, and they have both worked together to move this Arizona Cardinals team in the right direction and where we sit right now with success that we're seeing on the field. But, man, it's funny, right? Week six, you're sitting at 2-4. You're thinking to yourself, if this thing goes sideways, you might have to make a trade and move Budda Baker, right? Punt on the next season. You don't want to invest that capital in him. And you can go out, especially a lot of people were saying right now with the emergence of Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, Rabbit, you know, having some nice plays. He's still young. I don't know if I want to throw all my eggs in that basket just to start here. But Budda Baker, what an incredible year he's had, man. Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Was that a makeshift onside
dude.
Kick?
That is fucking crazy.
Wow.
Wow. Did he?
What a call.
Did he just Pat McAfee that shit? Did he get his own?
Was it scripted? Was it on purpose?
Oh, don't fuck up now.
Oh, that was totally on purpose.
Oh, he did that on purpose. Oh, no, he didn't get it. Okay, someone else got it.
Wow.
ASU just pulled a crazy onside kick-ish.
The Houdini act.
The Houdini.
I told you that. The bet's looking pretty good now.
Nah.
Stephen Miller. Yo, onside kick it up 2 touchdowns? Yeah, Stephen. Let's go.
Bury them.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's Kenny.
All right, Budda. We're talking Budda.
Budda.
At one point, I think before last week, he was the NFL leader in solo tackles,
which
some people will say.
Does he already have 100?
He's at 100 total tackles already.
So 10 a game?
I think he was in second or third for total tackles for the NFL. Some people like to say, "Oh, that's not always the best case scenario if your tackle, if your safety is making that many tackles."
A lot of tackles.
But we also know you can put Budda anywhere. You can load him in the box. You can bring him off the edge. I mean, he truly is a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, going back to what I was saying, is like week six, we're thinking about possibly trading him. Week 10, bye week, we're like, all right, let's throw the money truck at him and make sure that he comes back. And his performance has spoken volumes more to what he's done this year, not only just through his leadership, but his play on the field. So I'll ask you this, Tom, and I'll throw it over to you. Is Budda Baker already a top 3 defensive player in Arizona Cardinals history? Would you put him on that Mount Rushmore?
Yes, I would. Top 3, he'd be number 3, though.
Is Patrick Peterson also a top 3?
Patrick Peterson's number... He's number two.
He almost did it.
Aeneas Williams is number 1, I know.
Aeneas Williams is number one.
Yep.
But then, obviously, you got to throw Pat Tillman on top 5, even though...
But does... Okay, if we're being objective about...
Impact.
Statistically speaking...
Okay, then Pat Tillman...
Adrian Wilson. In there.
Pat Tillman's like an honorary top 5.
You got Chandler Jones. He was...
I mean, he's the all-time Cardinal sack leader.
Yeah.
Arizona Cardinal sack leader.
He was incredible. Yeah, he's on that list.
I just think we don't see a lot of longevity for Cardinals players in general, but especially on the defensive side. You know, Larry Fitzgerald was an outlier where, you know, can you name another Cardinals player that stayed around for 6-plus years?
I mean, Adrian Wilson.
Adrian Wilson, yeah, exactly.
Kyler Murray.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. There's obviously so many.
I'm sure there are others, but like for the most part, like the big names, like the guys that are making an impact.
As far as true notoriety.
Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. No, but yeah, obviously Buddha's impact has been huge. What did I want to say about that? We'll just move on. Maybe I'll circle back to it. But obviously Buddha's huge on the defensive side, but on the offensive side.
It's 2017.
Wow, first successful onside kick for ASU since 2017. That's an impressive stat.
Wow.
And, guys, I apologize. I'll try and minimize the updates because I know we already know the final score by the time you're listening.
Yeah, like, this is stupid.
Hopefully it's a wide margin. But I do want to briefly talk about one Marvin Harrison Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Big hype, you know, big expectations for him coming into the season. He's had a couple of big games, but by and large, for me, I've been a little bit disappointed with his utilization and execution on certain occasions. Is that criticism fair to be leveraging towards Marv, or is that just a function of the offense?
I'd say both, right? Because
it's a two-way street.
It is, yeah. So a function of the offense. I mean, we knew what the identity of this team was going to be. We're going to run the football, and then try to fool you on play action, right? So I think I don't know. I mean, he's had his burst out, right, against the Rams, and then, you know, he had a couple other good games. What game did he go over 100 in? Was that
the Dolphins game? Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he had a couple games. Oh, well, what was it? Week one against the Bills, he had like 3 yards, right?
Yep, one catch, like, 3 yards.
One catch, 3 yards, and then we should have won that game too, which is incredible. Where, I mean, so he's had an impact, right? Because I can't imagine that wide receiver room without him. I mean, we would be. Who would be our number one wide receiver without him?
Michael Wilson. Oh, yeah, come on.
That is just a recipe.
Which, hey, that's fine. Hey.
So, I mean, just his pure just size, athleticism. I mean, just his ability.
Oh, you like his size?
Oh, dude. Talk about where do you think Buddha got that big sack? Wow. Okay.
Mike wants to be anywhere else. Right.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. I don't know. I mean, so it's a mixture of he didn't play in the preseason where he should have played in the preseason.
He should have, 100%.
What? Oh, just because he was a top three pick.
Even just one quarter. Even just having played one quarter.
Yeah, I mean, he should have been playing. Even if he's not playing with the ones, he should still have been out there.
What
with
did he play,
the
four backups? Four snaps?
Four, I think
it was four, yeah.
Sad.
So it's a mixture of that. He had a slow start and then just an immense amount of pressure. Right,
because
he was
obviously.
Yeah. I mean, we were ranting and raving when Prater missed that kick last year, so we were like, we're getting Marvin Harrison, right? So we, from day one, since the offseason started, the fans have just been going crazy. Then we draft him, the fans are going extra crazy, waiting for his debut as a Cardinals. So
waiting for the ability to buy his
jersey. Damn
jersey.
Yeah, that's what. That's unbelievable. I can't believe that, but. So I don't know. I mean, I'm disappointed that he didn't just, you know, come up and steal the show. But I'm not surprised, though. But I still have hope, though, that he's going to figure it out. And, I mean, he's just too good of a football player.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm not really worried about it too much because this is his rookie year, and it's not uncommon for, especially rookie wide receivers.
They're
to
the
take a year
rate.
Or two. Right, yeah. And I think back, I learned recently that Justin Jefferson didn't play a single game through the first half of his rookie year. Mm. Like, and,
really?
And a lot of people put that on the coach being, I don't remember who the coach was, but they're basically saying, like, how do you not start this guy who's a clear raw talent? And he didn't play until, I want to say week 14, but that might be a little more. It might
yeah.
be more.
Well,
than,
he was only the 22nd overall pick or 23rd?
True, and that's completely different.
Marvin Harris is number three.
But still, Justin Jefferson was still a first-round pick, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Oh, then, well, yes, he was. Yes, he was.
But, like, think about, like, because what, Justin Jefferson's been in the league for, what, 3 years now? Two, 3 years? Who mm-hmm. else on, Adam Thielen? Who else were they having play instead of Justin Jefferson? So, obviously,
they had
that.
Stephon Diggs. Right,
Diggs and Thielen at that point.
Diggs and Thielen, yeah. But there still would have been room for Jefferson to get out there.
Yeah.
And
so, a good comparison is Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald was fourth or third overall.
Third overall.
Third, so
yeah. Eli Manning draft.
Yeah, look at that. They got picked in the same position.
No, they didn't, Tolman.
Oh, you're right. I'm stupid.
Come on, brother. Marvin Harrison Jr. was the fourth. Overall pick.
I apologize.
You're close.
Let me. Okay, but still, compare it to Larry coming in. He was a very, very high pick on a wide receiver. He didn't have a huge breakout rookie season.
Mike, trivia: who was the quarterback Larry's rookie year?
Josh McCown.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go. But if you pulled up,
how
you
gonna have a breakout season with Josh McCown?
Well, Anquan Boldin figured it out.
I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. I guess. So he figured it out.
Oh, yeah. So true trivia question. Who had the most impressive, well, like literally stat-wise, rookie game of all time for the Arizona Cardinals from the wide receiver position?
Ooh. Andy Isabella.
No. I mean, we were literally just talking about him. It was Anquan Boldin.
Oh, it was. Okay.
What was who were they playing, though?
fucking know, Mike.
Come on. No, it was in Detroit. He had, I think, like 254 yards receiving.
Shit.
Two or three touchdowns.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Don't slouch on Josh McCown. That guy played in the league forever, dude.
He did. He was career backup.
He was the first Ryan Fitzpatrick, basically.
The journeyman plays for a little bit of everybody. Yeah.
Well, I do want to jump on this one really quick. And the only thing have to say, and Paulman's right alongside the line, you know, I've seen some things on Twitter and that kind of stuff about the numbers comparisons right now through, you know, they always update it. Through week 7, what were Larry's numbers? What were Marv's numbers?
Oh, really?
Marv's numbers have been just above where Larry was. But then also, we have to think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is the leading rookie receiver in touchdowns right now in the NFL.
Really?
How many does he have? 5?
He has 6.
6? Okay. 6, yeah.
Talk about the last time that the Arizona Cardinals even had a receiver with 6 touchdowns, right? So for him to produce that way already, for us, and I'm with you, Chris, like there's still some disappointment with the way that he has been utilized. But it also is kind of within the offensive scheme and the coaching staff. If you guys watch Kyler Murray's YouTube channel, like he talks about how his job is to find the right play, make the right decision. And it's not always going to be having to force feed Marvin Harrison the ball like he had to do with DeAndre Hopkins. So I think he's at a good spot to start right now. Unbelievable.
Third Cam Scataboo touchdown. The ASU Sun Devils are up 21
and
he signed
the football. That's beautiful.
You said no more updates.
Chris. Is that a fine? Is that a fine? If you
Who cares?
Do
he's
they
gone.
Fine, do they fine college players?
He's out of here in a couple weeks.
But anyways, Marvin Harrison Jr. is in a great spot. Him and Kyler Murray are getting that camaraderie that we were hoping for. And it's all systems go and upward trajectory for the young gun, man. Now, figure it out with Fanatics. This is beyond bullshit that we're almost at the end of the season.
Ridiculous.
We can't buy a jersey.
Ridiculous.
Stupid.
Yeah, because when Zay Jones comes out and he gets like 50 receptions in one game, that's the jersey you're going to have to buy me, Mike. Asshole.
Okay, so perfect. Yeah, I had that written here. We got to check up on it. Speaking of wide receivers, there was a little bet made here back in, I think, August.
Maybe. Can we do a new bet? How about What's double or bet? Nothing?
Okay, well, before you guys do a new one, let's check up on the old one. So it was a receptions bet with Michael Wilson and Zay Jones. And
I wanted to do yards for the record, but I'd still be losing by a lot.
To give Tallman credit, at the time that bet was placed, we did not know that Zay Jones was going to be suspended for 4 games.
Correct.
Michael Wilson
has not gotten hurt yet.
Has not gotten hurt, as we had expected, or as some of us had expected.
I expected. Mike
but
did not.
If you've been following Valley Sports Plug, and if you've been listening to the Heat Check podcast, you know that Mike and I are Michael Wilson believers, and Tallman is a Michael Wilson
You're
hater.
A believer?
I'm a believer. I believe in Michael Wilson. Dude, he's a tall, quick, good catching wide receiver. How could you not like him? Just because of his injury history? I feel like that's the only reason you don't like Michael Wilson.
God.
What has he done to you, Tallman?
He
did he kick
he
your
played,
dog?
No.
And you're not asking him. He's the second
receiver.
He's not our number.
But you're not asking him to be that.
Go back and watch the draft stream that we did. Okay? He played like 14 games in college.
Yeah.
The dude was historically hurt. He didn't do anything. The only reason they drafted him is because, the kid's got size. He's pretty damn good when he's not broken in pieces, which he spent his 4 years in college.
But
tell me,
you know about gambling. The Cardinals gambled on Michael Wilson, and it's paying off. They're cashing in.
It's paying off.
And they went away from taking the freaking 5'9 receivers and having that be the only people on their outside. I would much rather have 6'3", 6'4 receivers, and then you could put Greg Dortch in the slot, your smaller guys with
Wilson's
speed.
Not 6'3", 6'4".
Michael Wilson is
6'2". Oh, okay.
6'2".
Well, speaking of short receivers that the Cardinals drafted, do you guys know where Andy Isabella is these days?
Is he Nowhere. On the town?
At home?
Where? On the couch?
Steelers practice squad.
No.
Oh, is he really? Oh, man.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep. He's bounced around because I think we shipped him off to New York, and then he was practice squad here, practice squad there.
Well, imagine picking Andy Isabella the pick before Seattle picks DK Metcalf.
Bullshit. Dude, that's why, like, I refuse to believe any of the draft hype anymore, because when we drafted Andy Isabella, they were like, oh, this guy's a hard worker. He travels.
What college did he go to?
Oh, Merrill? No.
No, was it UMass?
UMass. That sounds right.
It does sound right.
Yeah. But you heard about, like, oh, he travels with a passing machine where he's always catching footballs. He walks around with a football. Like, stupid. And he's fast. He runs a 4.5 40 or whatever the fuck ran.
Was he 5'9"?
He was short. I don't know if he was that short.
Oh, yeah, he was. Come on now.
What's that with
5'9"?
5'9", okay.
5'9", 188.
5'9" with an attitude.
What was his 40, though?
Oh, I gotta pull that up. This is the last thing.
Isabella.
Just 4.31 40 yard dash.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Never translated.
So I get the hype, but yeah, it doesn't always translate, because that's that 40 time is ran without pads.
Who's,
first of all.
Yeah. Who's the other guy? Was it Ryan Swope? Do you remember that?
Oh, dude? Yeah. Dude, he was a beast in Madden.
Yeah, yeah. Because he
video game nerd.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Oh,
because he had a crazy 40, right? And then he had a bunch of concussions, and then he didn't really even play. Right?
Yeah. Well, it's crazy if you
sorry,
can
that was a deep
you can
dive
really
right
you can
there.
Really dissect you can really dissect the 40 yard dash, because Brock Purdy has a quicker what is it, a 20 yard split than Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey did, so it means that basically they're saying that Brock Purdy's quicker, but those guys are faster when they get to top speed. But so there's so many ways you can skin a cat when it comes to this. I'm just trying to bust out all the little turns of phrases here.
You want to skin a cat?
Yeah. But I do want to look at the next or last 7 games for the Arizona Cardinals. I know we did our full preseason predictions here, and so I think based off current information, some of these picks may be subject to have changed. I was before in show prep trying to find our list of predictions, didn't have it handy, so we won't be able to cross-reference live here. But we are, of course, we know, starting at Seattle this week. Then we're going to go to Minnesota, take on the Vikings in Minnesota. We'll be back home for 2, the Seahawks and the Patriots, back on the road for 2 against the Panthers and then the Rams, and we'll finish out the season at home against the San Francisco 49ers. So 7 games. I know I already talked about the must wins with the Patriots and Panthers, but let's just quickly go game by game. We'll make this real quick. This week against Seattle, what do you guys think?
Oof.
Oh, don't switch up on me now, Tom.
I know.
Keep that same energy.
I know in our predictions, I think we all agreed that we're going to split.
Yes.
We're going to split the season with them. You got weather. You got rain. It's going to be cold. It's going to be loud. Kyler Murray's only won 1 game ever in his career in Seattle, and that happened in 2018, I think. I could be wrong. It could be 2019. But he's had his fair share of struggles. So if I'm going to stick to the split, this is very long fucking winded. I apologize. I'm going to say we beat them at home because we've been unstoppable at home. So I'm going to say we lose this weekend.
Oh,
I'm aligned with Tallman on this one. I don't think it's going to be because of the bye week. I think the extenuating factor is like the rain, but the Cardinals are built for that as well with a dominating run game. But if we're going to stick to the split, yeah, and especially going to Minnesota next week, which I don't know about you, Tallman, we can jump ahead too. I think that's a loss.
Really?
I do. Dude, the Cardinals haven't won in Minnesota since like 1970.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, perfect time to.
1970, earliest would be 1980s. Okay, it's been like 40 years.
So we got them both losing, even though earlier earlier I said it's a must win this weekend. So, I
think my reasoning with going with them coming home after losing to Minnesota, they'll have a lot of energy. And you're coming off of 3 straight home games, no touchdowns.
Yeah.
That would be the one that they would win if the split does happen with Seattle.
What was your prediction?
I'm glad you asked, Tom. I think I'm going to have to, you know, rare for me, but I'm going to have to go the optimist route here because. Okay. You can factor in the bye week, and you can even think of it. There's ways to look at it in a positive light and a negative light, right? The positive light is get healthy, you know, shake off any soreness you had lingering, but also you haven't played, so are you ready to go back into action? Obviously, that's the concern. the inclement weather is a concern. But Mike, you brought up a great point. When the weather's bad, what do teams do? They keep it on the ground. And we have a great ground game. Granted, with Ken Walker, Seattle also doesn't have a terrible run game either. I just think the momentum is on our side if it carries through the bye week. Kyler Murray is undefeated since Call of Duty Black Ops 6 was released.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said for that. I think Kyler is locked.
He played so much of it during the bye week.
I don't know. Okay. Screw it. I'm flipping with Chris.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think we split. No, fuck a split with
fuck
Seattle.
Fuck a split. We don't win.
So I already was talking about it. Seattle is frauds.
They're
fraudulent.
Trash.
Absolutely mid. No, we'll win both those games. I do think we'll lose to Minnesota still.
Okay.
But I'll go Minnesota. With you, Chris.
Minnesota. So you lose Tomlin. All right, Minnesota. What are you thinking?
This season has been so weird, guys. Because I think in our prediction we're all like, "Oh, Minnesota's going to suck," but then Sam Darnold's been kicking ass. I'm going to go with Mike. It's going to be a loss.
Yeah, I want to believe. I do. I want to believe. But being a realist here, which I try to be, I think it's a good chance of in Minnesota. That's a crazy atmosphere. They have a really big fan base. What do they play? I don't remember what their stadium's called.
Skull?
Do they have the whole Skull thing?
But yeah, they have the Skull thing.
But yeah, and weather's not a factor, although it will be cold and possibly snowy in Minnesota.
They play inside in a dome.
So it's, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So it's not that's not going to be a factor there. So both teams, it's kind of even ground at that point where Minnesota has, I think, surprised in a lot of ways because they were going to roll out the rookie, but then he got injured, right? So they've been rolling with Sam Darnold, and dude has been showing up and showing out along with Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones, and the like. So they have a dangerous offense. It's going to be a true test to see if our defense is for real. I think for me, I do think it's going to be a loss. I hope it's a close game, though.
Yep.
But that brings us to the next week, which was 11, 12. So week 13, back at home against Seattle. Sounds like Mike and I already kind of thinking.
Mike and Ike.
it's going to be another win. And at home, you got to beat the Seahawks. And the other thing.
I'm with you guys.
The other thing there is it's going to be 50-50 fan split in the stadium. Minimum.
Well, I mean, if the Cardinals for sure win one of the next two games, I think we'll edge out amount of fans, but it'll still probably still be like 60-40. But you know what we talk about when this team is good, fans show up.
Yeah,
so
they don't sell their tickets.
That's true. Yeah.
So I mean, I was gonna ask Tallman, how was the Bears game? That was gonna be a dumb question. I know what that was.
Yeah.
75-25.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, no, Seattle Sea Frauds W. Big time.
Yep.
So you have them lose,
put it down.
You have them losing week 12? Okay, so that's week 14
yeah,
in Seattle, right?
Yes, which is crazy because if my prediction's right, we'll be 6-6 going into that game, which would just be, oh. But yeah, I've been winning the second Seattle game at home.
Nice. Okay, so then we'll stay at home and take on the Patriots after that. And for me, that is the must win. The next two after
next
that.
Next two are must win.
Must win. Are we? We can gloss over this. Patriots, Panthers, win.
Win.
Yeah. Be careful, though. Who did the Patriots just beat?
Be careful of Drake May? Come on.
He's.
Who did the Patriots just beat?
Yeah. Fuck.
I'm not.
You don't want to look it up?
I have no faith that the Patriots would come in here and be able to keep up with our offense at that point.
So we did say we're going to make this quick. So. Yes, we have to win both those games. So we're going.
So the Patriots just beat the Chicago Bears 19-3.
No,
oh,
it was,
no.
Who else beat the Bears?
That was last week.
Yeah. No. I'm
or
talking
no,
about,
that was
I'm
2 weeks ago.
One. That was 2 weeks
so,
ago.
So Tom, the only reason that I would lend a little bit of credence to being careful is the old trap game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's still the NFL.
And I think if one of these two were to be a trap game, it probably would be the Patriots. Because the Panthers are just in complete shambles.
Oh, no, like, don't forget whatever I said.
Oh, the Panthers have been playing a little bit better recently, but, I mean, not against good competition. And, yeah, they're still bottom three team in this league. So, if you're talking about a team that's in a hunt to win a division, these should be gimmies. You shouldn't even be thinking that these are trap games, these two.
Oh, yeah, Panthers beat the Saints and then beat the Giants.
Yeah, they beat the Giants in Germany, though. And those neutral site games are always weird.
How did Daniel Jones do?
Yeah, you're talking about the 2-8 Giants.
Bad.
They beat Carolina went to 3-7 with that. No, completely gloss over these two games.
Yeah,
jokes. Yeah, there's no trap game here.
No. No,
I'll eat my own words if it comes down to it.
If we lose one of these games.
Yeah.
Good football teams don't lose to teams like that.
No. But that brings us to the final two games of the season in week 17 and 18 against a couple California teams. Guys, we said they were going to split against the Rams. They have one win against the Rams. Are we still thinking split?
See, they're the ones I'm most afraid of because they're starting to play good football.
Yeah.
And the 49ers are just falling apart from the seams. And then we haven't seen the Seahawks yet.
Yeah.
So the Rams, which is crazy because we gave them their worst loss of the season by far. Because just looking at what the Rams have done, after we whooped the Rams, they beat the 49ers. Let's see. They beat the Vikings. They beat the Seahawks. They lost to the Dolphins. So, okay, they barely squeaked it out against the Patriots, but...
But look who the Rams have coming up. I mean, they got to play Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. They're playing
here.
Philly, who's hot.
Buffalo.
Saints, they got Carr back. Buffalo, Niners again. Jets, who will have a 40-year-old quarterback sitting on the bench.
So, and then I guess we could kind of lump in these last two games, too. When we did the season predictions, if you guys remember, when we talked about the last game of the season, I think you had said, The 49ers aren't going to be playing for anything because they're going to have their, playoff lives kind of predicted already by that point. So they'll be sitting a bunch of guys so the Cardinals would win that game. I'm not throwing shade at you guys. I was in the same situation in regard to the Niners making the playoffs, but I thought that it was going to be coming down to working through seeding so they would play those teams. If the Cardinals go on a run out here, ESPN predicting them to go 5-2 in the last stretch here.
Oh, wow.
If we're going into week 17 and we have a 2-3 games lead,
it's going to be us.
It might be us.
Resting people.
Who are just like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, we'll go to LA and Trey Benson will have 20 carries. You know what I'm saying?
Clayton Tune will have 150 passing yards.
I could still see us losing that game in Los Angeles because Tallman's right. LA is figuring it out. They're getting a little bit healthier as well. So you could go there and lose
that
game.
Yeah, Cup and Puka.
But then week 18, Daniel Jones is starting for the San Francisco 49ers. They're 6-10.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. We'll still win that game because Daniel Jones is a bottom feeder quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
you know who lost to Daniel Jones? The Seahawks.
There you go.
Well, I mean, we lost to Daniel Jones last year too, so
that's
I won't.
Fair. That's fair.
We were up by
I think
incredible amount at halftime.
I think on a future stream, not here, not right now, but we're gonna have to do Daniel Jones. Talk about the 49ers and if Brock Purdy has been figured out, if he's truly the game manager they said he was, because he has been spoiled with weapons, and they've struggled this year as Christian McCaffrey's missed more than half the season. Debo Samuel missed a few games. Like,
who is he elevating, right? I think that's the question that you're trying to ask.
Yeah. Is he moving the needle, or is it his weapons that move the needle? And I think this season has proved that it's his weapons that always move the needle.
I think this season they just don't have a needle.
Well, good.
No,
good.
That's the
needle on the pump is broke.
Yeah, it's busted.
No,
that could be a good debate though, because
I'm
gonna have my boys.
Back. I know you love Purdy.
All right, well, Chris,
Purdy.
I gotta throw it out there. So overall,
okay,
double digit wins for the Arizona Cardinals this year.
Yeah,
it sounds like it.
Yeah, because we're 6-4 right now. So we beat Seattle, that's 7-4. We lose to the Vikings, 7-5. We beat Seattle, that's 8-5. Beat the Patriots, 9-5. Beat the Panthers, 10-5. There's it right there. Even if we lose to Seattle, say you're 9-6, you're gonna beat the Rams or 49ers, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So you're looking at what?
Or
10
even if you lose one of those Seattle games and you drop the other two to the Niners and the Rams. There's minimum 4 wins left within this schedule. So 10 wins is, I think, a minimum standard at this point. It's not even just not even just predictions at this point. Like, that is the standard that this Arizona Cardinals team have set for themselves from the first half of this season. It's, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a lost season if you don't get double digit wins. I mean, we're coming off of 2 years with four wins. But remember how we always talk about, you have to reset expectations as seasons go along. And that's what this team has done for themselves. And it's just awesome to be in this position already.
Yeah, and we're asking them to win more than 50% of their last seven games, which is a scary prospect as a Cardinals fan, but with the matchups they have, it's not completely unrealistic whatsoever. And I think no matter what, they finish above 500.
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
No matter what.
And you know what's crazy about your guys' prediction of the sweep of Seattle? Last two games of the season against the Rams and the 49ers, we'd have a chance to go undefeated in the division.
Hell yeah.
Because we have not lost a division game yet.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. That's crazy. I mean, guys, only time will tell. Did we do our predictions for the Rams?
No, not yet.
No, okay. So we're on.
We did. We just talked about it.
Well, so I didn't say anything.
Oh, then do it. Throw it out there.
Okay, before Tallman does, I'm just going to say.
No, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that I think it's possible we lose to the Rams.
Did you say loss?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I think we beat the 49ers at the end of the season. If the game matters. If it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter if we win or lose, then it'll be a loss. But if we're playing for something, I think we win that game.
I'm aligned with you.
Clayton Tune will beat Daniel Jones in week 18.
Yeah, I got a little hype there. I'm sorry. I saw maroon and gold. I got a little hype.
Funny.
It's 21-3 at halftime of this ASU game. Hopefully we won. Yeah, so guys, it's going to be we're going to do our weekly recap, so make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube page, Valley Sports Plug. Go in the search bar, type in Valley Sports Plug. Go on Google, type in Valley Sports Plug. You'll find our link tree. You'll be able to connect with all our social medias. If you don't want to do that, you can go on any individual platform, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, @AZ_VSP, and you can follow us there, and you can stay up to date on all of the Arizona Cardinals, Phoenix Suns, Arizona Diamondbacks, and Valley Sports action. I'm going to keep bringing it to you. We do this, the Heat Check podcast, once a month recording. If you're about an hour into this episode, you already know this, and we appreciate you for being here. But guys, it's November. It's, you know, I don't want to say it's a slow season, because obviously football is huge, basketball is ramping up. Quick touch on baseball. Christian Walker declined the qualifying offer. He's heading to New York more likely than not. D-backs are going to have $30 million available in free agency to sign and replace three or four guys that were kind of crucial in Jock Peterson, Randall Grichuk, obviously Christian Walker. They're going to have some work to do. They're not bringing back Paul Sewald, are they?
No way.
Hell no.
No way.
So they got some things to do, but we're not going to talk about the Diamondbacks. As that unfolds, maybe in December, maybe in January, we can get started talking about the Diamondbacks. But right now, I do want to talk about the Phoenix Suns. As I mentioned at the top of the show, they started the season 9-2. They've lost five straight. Kevin Durant, he's out 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was reevaluated.
To be reevaluated.
In 2 weeks. But that time frame is coming up. Sounds like the same thing for Bradley Beal as well, so that's a positive at least.
Bradley Beal needs to reevaluate his whole life, and whatever he's doing where he's not able to stay healthy for more than 2 minutes at a time.
He needs to reevaluate his regimen.
Yeah, honestly, like he needs to call LeBron James and be like, yo, what are you doing, man? Because I've apparently eating Cheetos and watching Netflix is not the regimen that I need to be able to stay healthy. I don't know what Brad Beal does. How are you so fragile? How are you so fragile and unable to play for 2-3 straight seasons? Obviously, I'm pretty sure he had injury troubles in Washington. Now he's here having injury troubles. It's really making me regret making that move. And I guess it's better that you got something rather than nothing for Chris Paul. But at the end of the day, man, Bradley Beal is a boon on our payroll, and he's not contributing as much as someone who's making, what, $40 million needs to be contributing. That might be a little high, but he's making a fuck ton of money.
Oh, I thought he was almost at 50, if not that.
He might be. Honestly, he might be. NBA money is crazy.
So, and I think the other concern with Bradley Beal, Chris, as far as the injury proneness, this is something that we knew, but to start the season, the amount of different injuries that he's having, man, like He's got the elbow, and then he's got the knee issue where he had to have x-rays. Now he's got a calf. Like, that's extremely, extremely concerning, especially to start an NBA season. What did we already start with Bradley Beal last year?
Neck?
Nothing. He didn't play for the first, what, 7-8 games. He played one game, and then he's out again. Like, he missed
like
30
month.
Games
he
last year, right?
Time, yeah.
If things are... If the trajectory of what Bradley Beal's availability is going to be mirrored off of what happened last year, get ready to expect Bradley Beal around for just 50 games. And unfortunately, guys, the way that this team is built, so top-heavy, we already knew this, he needs to be a contributing factor for this team to go fucking anywhere, dude. Kevin Durant is still one of the top five players in the NBA. But isn't it kind of crazy that you're sitting here after such an incredible start, 9-1, winning all these close games, he goes down, your team loses its identity, and then you're sitting here waiting like, oh my God, we need the 36-year-old back. We need the 36-year-old back? Like, oh no. Overall grand scheme of things with the Phoenix Suns, it's so early within the season. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock within this losing, especially since they've been losing to some tough teams. Obviously, Minnesota was in the Western Conference Finals last year. It's a tough way to lose that off of a push-off, but not a push-off, but a travel. Like, whatever the hell. That happens in the NBA every game, it seems like. It's a missed call.
Real quick, completely random and off-topic, but since you got me talking about push-offs, did you see the egregious Jason Tatum push-off?
No.
He pushed off. He shoved a guy to the ground with his forearm. Then he took 3 or 4 steps back to the three-point line and took a shot and made it. Did you see this, Tallman?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this was just like the other night. Yeah, I think he made a comment where he's like, oh, yeah. Who were they playing? Was it Miami?
I think maybe. Yeah, I'll pull it up after.
And he was like, oh, yeah. But Bam traveled. And then they said there was a foul on me the other play. Refs miss it all the time. We won the game. So I get it. But then, you know, that's the other thing about the NBA, man. All these other there's transition shifts now, right? What did you think? Or I guess I'll ask you guys, when I say the Orlando Magic, what do you think? What's your first instinct or first thought that comes to your mind about how good the Orlando Magic
are? They're continuing to win without their best player.
Orlando Magic, you're a good team now.
Who's been out? Is Banchero been out?
Paolo,
that's who I think out. About first with yep. the Magic, and I think of up and coming right? team in the East, like a young talented team. They're like, they're like the OKC of the East.
Yeah, here's another one. Houston Rockets.
Trash.
Houston Rockets are a top 4 seed in the West right now, Chris. Memphis Grizzlies.
John Morant shooting people.
Yes, there you go. That's right.
I mean, we're doing word association
same,
here, right?
Yeah, right? It's the first thing that comes
same,
to your mind.
Basically, same record as the Phoenix Suns, right?
John Morant's
back into the fold.
Did you see the Spurs won against the Thunder without
San Antonio Spurs?
But these, I mean, other teams, talking about Memphis, like, obviously John Morant, but 3J, yeah, 3J
mm-hmm.
is huge too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big part of their team.
Yeah, but I guess the moral of the story is what I'm trying to say is these teams that we used to think you were just going to be able to go in and sleepwalk through are continuing to get better. The NBA level continues to rise, and the Phoenix Suns are so top heavy that some of these other teams that are built through drafts and really filled out roster wise are giving us fits right now with two of your stars out. And that's why you've lost 5 games in a row. Mm-hmm. The defense has been absolutely atrocious. I went to that New York Knicks game. It wasn't even a game. They were up 14-3 within the first minute and a half. And it was over. And it was lifeless on the defensive end.
Did they welcome Mikal Bridges back with open arms?
Oh. Valley loves him. Still,
I'm always
man.
You're never gonna make me hate Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
You gotta love Bridges.
So at the end of the day, it's so early within the NBA season. It's just so crazy to go from literally first in the West to 7th in less than 2 weeks.
So quick.
And that's what happens early season. I get it. But we're just not competitive right now, specifically on the defensive end. Devin Booker seems to it seems like he's starting to understand, oh, my other two guys aren't here. I need to shoot 20 times a game.
Yes.
Yes, Devin Booker.
And you need to not complain about being double-teamed. You're a top 10 player in the NBA. You are going to be double-teamed. I know I talked about this with Stephen Miller. I talked about a couple of things with Stephen Miller. You can be like, I think he got comfortable playing alongside Kevin Durant and having the court be open, because you can't double team both of them. So you have to just play straight up defense to where they're going to be able to take the one-on-ones. But take one of those guys out and KD's going to be double teamed. Booker's going to be double teamed. And Booker bitched about, like, oh, I didn't take that many shots because I was double teamed and I was deferring. There is something fundamentally wrong if Josh Okogie is your leading scorer for a game.
Yes. I'm sorry. That just can never happen.
It can't.
It can't be allowed. But yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter in the NBA as well is, dude, all these stars are hurt again. Like, this is,
at least we're not the 76ers.
This is what has happened in the past 5 to 10 years, every single year. So I think that's why we don't jump off the cliff yet, Phoenix Suns fans, because if you didn't expect this, then you haven't been watching the game for the past decade. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to be frustrated with the way that this team is performing within a losing streak, right? It's always sure. bad. Losing yeah. streaks are always bad. It does show some more concern where it's like, well, I thought this team was deeper this year, right? But it also, I think, Chris, I was talking with you the other day, just kind of shooting the shit about the Phoenix Suns, and I was like, if this isn't an absolute shining light on the NBA game as a whole, that superstars really dominate everything, and you know who those superstars are because when they are given the opportunity to go and get it, they do, and they do it more consistent. When these guys who are your role players, a.k.a. Royce O'Neal, a.k.a. Grayson Allen, when they're given different opportunities to step in and say, hey, you need to be kind of one of the guys now, more times than not, they don't, because they can't. That's why this is such a star-driven league. So that's why the Philadelphia 76ers, like Jared McCain, is starting to put himself in the front for a Rookie of the Year nomination, because he has given the opportunity. And now, what is he, scored 20-plus points in like 6-7 straight games?
Oh, wow.
Like, the Phoenix Suns don't have that secondary guy who can do that right now, and that's why they are losing.
Tallman, if you didn't know, in a lot of ways, Jared McCain is the Caleb Williams of the NBA. He's a nasty girl.
Oh, that's my type of dude.
Maybe him and your wife could collaborate on some TikToks or something. He likes to dance and like.
Hey.
Oh, that's good.
What is it? I don't know. The shift around. Hit it one time. There you go.
I have no idea.
I mean, we're going to make a TikTok after we record this.
We do the heat check.
No, we do the heat check challenge.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Every month when we record the heat check. And
yes,
this month,
we fucking
because,
are.
Guys, I don't know if you know this. You might not know. We didn't do an October episode. This was the first time in 2 years that we missed 1 month of the Heat Check podcast. It was a crazy month of October, and we deeply apologize. But we're back. We're better than ever. But that means for the Heat Check challenge, we got to take two shots today.
Ooh.
Take two shots.
One. And two.
So make sure you go check that out on TikTok at
@AZ_VSB. One and two. One and two.
I'm missing something.
We're gonna show Tallman some Jared McCain TikToks. But Tallman, I do want you to chime in here. I know during the NFL season you're not as tuned into the NBA happenings, and once February ends and the Super Bowl's over, you'll be all in on the Phoenix Suns. But
nothing else to do
with with this start, does it concern you, or is this just early season?
No,
like,
I'm not concerned. No, but I mean, come on, you're gonna get the good thing about it is Kevin Durant's coming back, right? And he was the reason why we went off to a hot start. I mean, that's it. I mean, I mean the game I went to where somehow the Sixers played us so close, the last 3 minutes of the game was Kevin Durant just taking control of the game and winning it, saying, yeah, we're not fucking losing tonight. So he's coming back. It's not like he's done for the season. So that's all the hope I need to still feel good about it. And it's not even Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You can't throw dirt on them. It's not even Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, we are 16 games into an 82-game season.
Yeah, that's...
It's way too early to be hitting the panic button.
It is.
But... there are red flags. Bradley Beal being injured is a red flag. But the Kevin Durant thing is more of a cautionary thing.
Yes.
Because even Matt Ishbia, it's like at the end of last season where it's like, if the playoffs started today, Kevin Durant would be on the court. Mike even pointed out when we were, I don't know if we were on a stream or if we were just chatting on the phone, Kevin Durant finished the game he got injured in. Mm-hmm. He didn't come out. And then after that, it's like, oh, nobody knew he got injured in that game either, as far as I know. And then the news broke the next day where it's like, oh yeah, Kevin Durant's out for 2 weeks, going to be reevaluated. And we're just, oh, moan and groan. But I think we're past the point of wanting to try and win as many games as we can in the regular season and be the top seed. We don't give a fuck about seeding. We just want to be in the playoffs. At least as a fan, from my perspective, and as a commentator on the Phoenix Suns, I think that I just want us to be in the playoffs, not in a play-in, though. We need to be a top eight seed.
Yeah.
Or top six seed, right?
Six.
So I differ from you. I need a top four seed.
Oh.
I need this team to have this team to have at least one home playoff series. Get your feet rolling so you don't have to go on the road to start in the playoffs. Especially, who knows, if down the road, if you have one of the top four seeds, not that you have the ability to take your foot off the gas, but you might be able to give some opportunity for some other guys and start fleshing out that, you know, that roster to see who's really going to be a part of the playoff rotation down the road. So,
because we played Mike Budenholzer in the finals when he was the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, and he kept a tight rotation. What was it, an 8-man rotation?
Mm-hmm.
And I expect him to do that here in Phoenix too, as he should.
Yes.
As he should. And so who's going to be a part of that? Is it going to be Ryan Dunn? Is it going to be Josh Okogie? It's definitely going to be Mason Plumlee if he's healthy. You need a backup center. So that's already taken away one of those spots.
Yeah. I mean, is Oso going to be a part of it down the road, right? I mean, you have to have some size, so I could imagine. But that's the other crazy thing too, where it's like we're so early in the season and we got our two rookies playing like heavy minutes, asking them to be key contributors to get wins right now, and it's not where you want it to be. The nice surprise of what Ryan Dunn has done has been his ability to play defense and hit some shots from outside, right? But his offensive game is still a work in progress. So asking him to be a continuous contributor on the offensive side right now is, I think, taking away from what his true involvement in the game plan should be right now, which is playing possessions on the best offensive player for the other team at points and getting to the wing, taking those open shots and hitting 40% of those. Like, we're asking guys to do things out of position right now, right? And this isn't new. We've done this since we started Valley Sports Plug, Chris. You know what I'm saying? But that's why it's not a cause for concern. I just think with the age of Kevin Durant and with the concerns of the viability of Bradley Beal, that's why I want a home series in the playoffs to start. So that way these guys can get the juices rolling, get a couple of wins under their belt, and hopefully a playoff series win. And then if you have to go on the road after that, you're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the big thing. And I'm glad you brought up the rookie impact early, because Iguodaro and Dunn have been making an impact, which I don't know if we necessarily expected. We knew out of preseason and like training camp, or if you want to call it that, that Dunn could shoot. We saw that he can shoot, and he's going to be asked upon. And that was the big thing that Mike, you and I have talked about it at nauseam. When you have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the court, those guys are going to draw the defense, where these guys have to be ready to shoot in the corner. We can't have Josh Okogie going 1-for-8 from 3-point line. We can't do it. And I get it. Okogie is a defensive specialist, but Ryan Dunn is a pure shooter, and it's a shooter's league now. It's all these kids grew up watching Steph Curry, and that's who they're emulating now. You know, I love to see their impact early. It makes me nervous when we're top heavy, when these guys at the top are injured, when Beal and Durant are out and Booker's struggling. What's going to happen when Booker's out? What's going to happen when all three of them are out? We're going to lose games. And on top, I just can't agree with you enough, Mike. I do think that a top four seed and having that home court advantage would be huge, but I like our chances as long as we have a secure seed in the playoffs and we're not in the play-in tournament. I'm nervous about the play-in tournament.
True. Oh, you should. Any team should be nervous about the play-in tournament, because it's
one game.
One game.
Yeah.
Depending on what your seed is.
True. Yeah, you could two. One, but two.
But it's still one and you're done. You never want to put yourself in that position.
No. No, not at all. Yeah, I don't know. Like, guys, we just don't have really much to report on the Suns right now. I think the last thing I really wanted to talk about is the impact of Tyus Jones and how he might... We've talked about it. I think it was on the Suns recap, the first one we did. We got another one coming out this week, right?
I believe so.
We're going to do that every 2 weeks for the Suns. They have a long break. They got 5 days off. They don't play again until Tuesday. And that's a in-season tournament game against the Sacramento Kings that we'll be playing.
Oh, good Lord.
But Tyus Jones, signing of the offseason through the entire NBA, in my opinion. His impact cannot be understated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially to start, first 10 games. I mean, you saw it on the offensive end specifically, too. He's still the assist-to-turnover ratio king. I always stumble through that. It's not that hard to say.
Assist-to-turnover ratio.
But he's definitely been very impactful, helping to not turn the ball over as much, which has been kind of our downturn over the past couple of losses, right? Like, yeah. Yusuf Nurkic loves to turn the ball over 3+ times a game. Chris, I might be aligned with you for sure. I'd like right now, with Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal out, by the time that this goes out this week, I mean, we might have one of them back. Not for the Kings game, possibly, but probably the game after.
Yeah.
So I was just hoping that he would have taken a little bit more of a forefront of the scoring burden than he did within these past couple of losses. But it's still okay because you're working him within rhythm of what he's supposed to do on the offensive end, which has been stellar. And it's nice to have somebody who can dribble the basketball up at the court, gentlemen. That's the big thing.
Yeah, because Devin, obviously we know Devin Booker's capable, but that's not where he's best utilized. He's best utilized off ball.
No, I mean, Devin Booker had almost an absolutely costly steal against the Portland Trailblazers when they were pressing us down the stretch of that game. You don't see that from Tyus Jones. I know guys make mistakes every once in a while, but you see it a lot more out of Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, especially within the point guard roles when you ask them to do it. It's not their true position. So yeah. When you have a true point guard, you're not going to have those flaws.
It's a game changer. Tallman, is there anything else you want to say on the Phoenix Suns while we're chatting about it?
What Mike said.
Yeah.
That's a safe bet.
We're good.
No. I think you guys...
It's early.
We're good. The biggest...
It's still going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For this year.
There's a lot of basketball to be played.
Oh, 100%. And believe me, as the football season winds down and basketball is going to be pretty much the only thing we get to talk about as we roll into the start of the baseball season, we're going to be chatting about, oh, how did he drop that? Oh my God, I'm sorry. As we wind this down, the Sun Devils are still up 21-3, 8:20 left in the third quarter. It's fourth and goal, so I don't think they're going to go for it. It's probably going to be 24-3. That would be the smart move. Stay up 3 touchdowns.
You brick hand motherfucker.
That's crazy.
Sorry, that was awful language.
Number 7, I don't know who that is.
They're going for it.
Oh, they are going for it. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so we're going to watch this last play as we wind down. But I guess, Mike, I'll pass it over to you first. Any last thoughts or anything you got to get off your chest?
2024 has been a good year, gentlemen. It's been a good year for the Valley. Obviously, some teams kind of fell flat. I'm sure we'll have more in-depth, long-term dives on what happened within the Valley. But excited to have this squad go into Seattle as far as the Arizona Cardinals and continue that momentum even after the bye. Phoenix Suns just got to get healthy. Christian Walker, come back home. You know what it is. Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Tallman?
Yeah. Football is hot in Phoenix right now, guys. Just stoked. I mean, if ASU pulls this off, I mean,
Huge.
Like I was telling you guys before we started, I was like, when was the last time we were allowed to be excited about an ASU football game? You know, I mean, it's
been a few years.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, and it's great. It's a great time to be a football fan in Phoenix. Let's say that.
Yeah, I love that things are trending upwards. We have 3 major sports teams and now a college team that we can be excited about.
Where's the Thunder Dicks?
We can tune in to watch. Yeah, get your props ready. They'll switch it up. Guys, we do this in-person podcast recording. We call it the Heat Check Podcast once a month. This was episode 34. We will be back in December for our final episode of 2024 as we close things out. Make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube page, Valley Sports Plug. Always follow us at AZ_VSP on Instagram, TikTok, X, Threads, so you can find out when we're going live and when we post new content. We have new content going up every single week, so you don't want to miss it. But guys, let's go ahead and get out of here. For Michael Benjamin and VSP Tallman, I'm Chris Patrick. We'll see you next time. Peace.